Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And Joelle's not here. Is she Joelle again? You know, Donald, at a certain point, Donald, we got to start to worry about losing Joelle because it's the first show of the new year. And where's Joelle? She's getting bangs with Zoe right now as we speak.
I think we already lost her, bro.
I mean, Joelle would never be late before this Zoe Deschanel show came along. And now, where's Joelle?
She's in another meeting, apparently.
Yeah, another meeting.
She is indeed in another meeting. I can promise you it's not with Zoe. That's all I'm going to say.
Doesn't help my narrative, Daniel.
I'll cut that out.
That doesn't serve my narrative, Daniel. Hey, buddy.
How are you, sir?
Oh, I missed you so.
Did you? Because I've seen you a couple of times in this
little
break.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter.
And even if we win. Oh, my God. I wonder if anyone else gets that reference. Someone our age will.
I know someone too young
to get that reference.
Do you know the movie, Daniel?
No, actually, I don't.
I didn't think you would.
It's an amazing movie and very early in Bill Murray's career called Meatballs.
Ah.
It's about camp. Are you ready for the summer? I was about to say,
to tell parents to show it to their kids, but I don't know if it's still.
If you watch it, it's not as. There's teenage stuff in it and stuff like that, but there's no nudity. There's no cursing in Meatballs.
I loved it. I remember being a great. I mean, it's for teen. I think you can show your teenage kid.
It's for teenagers.
But it's like Bill Murray, one of his first movies off SNL. That wasn't just a comedy. It is a comedy, but it also has heartwarming stuff in it. He's like a mentor to this kid at camp.
He's a camp counselor, actually. He's like the head of camp counselors at the camp.
Yeah, and he's hilarious in it.
Yeah. It's great. But the movie's mostly about the kids. I don't want you to go thinking that this is a Bill Murray movie.
Maybe I'm remembering a different movie. I mean, we've spoken about this because I told you that Meatballs 2 is the worst sequel that's ever been made of any movie of all time.
Meet Ted.
Because E.T. had come out. Did we talk about this? I went on Brett Goldstein's podcast and he wanted me to say a movie I hated. And I was, you know, I don't like criticizing anybody's work, no matter what it is. But I had to pick a movie I thought was just a mess. And so I thought of that alien that had been worked into to the movie.
No, that alien became the star of the movie. That movie was about that alien.
Solely because they lost Bill Murray. And it was at the same time with the success of E.T. And they were like, what if there was an alien? And he looked like E.T., right?
Yeah,
and he looked like E.T. He looked like a...
But they put him in like a yellow...
trench coat.
It was either a trench coat or a raincoat.
Yeah, same thing.
With the rain hat.
Yeah. Anyway, I missed you all. Hey, listeners, thank you for coming back and Happy New Year to you all. Thank you for being here.
So much stuff has happened that I wanted to talk about, but, you know, I smoke a lot of marijuana.
But I thought you were going to not smoke marijuana today. Oh, you're just saying because you smoked so much marijuana
that my memory is gone. Like, I had some really important shit I wanted to discuss with you all.
I think you owe it to our audience, if you're such a pothead, to write these things down.
I started to, but then I lost the paper too. So it was like, what am I writing it down for if I can't find
I'm sorry, the audience. Paper. Just imagine the funny things Donald would have for you if he
was. Some of it was like heartfelt and heartwarming.
Imagine that, all that heartwarming stuff, guys.
God.
Tweed, not even once.
Wonderful.
How have you been?
We have so much to talk about. Well, I have to tell the audience, and you know, Daniel probably doesn't know, I was so sick. I got strep throat.
You got the real.
I heard through the grapevine. I'm so sorry.
Donald and I were meant to go to Vegas for an iHeart event, and it was going to be so much fun, and Casey was coming.
Oh, dude, it was.
And I couldn't go. Donald went and represented on his own. Thank you, Donald. But, man,
I'm going to tell you something right now, Zach. Right. Because you were sick, you fucked up the whole trip.
No,
for
don't
me.
Put that guilt on me, please.
No, but I got to, buddy. I got to because I love you, and this is the only way. It was supposed to be the three of us. It was going to be fucking
the usual
suspects.
The thruple.
Yeah, the thruple. And we were going to be in Vegas, and we were going to double down on blackjack, baby. We were going to bet on black.
Casey, who never gets time away from the kids, was like, "We're going to Vegas.
It's going down."
And I had to call them and be like, "Guys,
we got a sitter and everything."
I know.
Zach calls and says, "Guys, I have strep." But not only does he call and say he has strep, he calls and says this the day before we're supposed to leave.
Well, what am I supposed to do? I couldn't go. There was no. You don't know how sick I was. I've never had strep like this. Like I was. I had to get a painkiller. I had to get a legit painkiller to swallow.
This whole trip, Zach had gone away for a bit. I was doing whatever the fuck I was doing. And this whole trip, we were talking to each other like, keep your nose clean. Vegas is coming. Keep your nose clean. Keep your nose clean. Keep your nose clean.
Well, if the expression keep your nose clean means don't do drugs, I didn't do drugs. I just got fucking sick.
Well, how did it get into your body, bud?
I was in Aspen. It wasn't like so many people.
Through your nose. Through your mouth.
Well, yeah.
Keep
but
your
I'm
nose
saying,
clean.
No matter where you are, these days, by the way, these days, no matter where you are, you're in packed, if you're going on a vacation, you're in packed restaurants, you're in packed bars. I was in a packed airport. I must have been one of three people wearing a mask at the fucking packed airport. And, you know, how are you not going to get something? So I got the fuck up. I really honestly, in 47 years of existence, never had a strep throat like this. I sent you a picture, Donald, of my uvula.
That shit was nasty.
My uvula was like an old man's balls resting on my tongue.
Jesus.
Just long and thick and pussy. Picture an old man's scrotum and picture it pussy.
Does
an
old man have pussy scrotum balls?
No, I'm saying add the pussy. Old men, stereotypically, the balls hang low because, you know, they've had years of hanging. So they hang low, right?
They've stretched out like a tribal woman's earlobe after putting the – right.
Yes. But I want you to go back to the image of an – listen. I want the audience to really get this. I want you to picture an old man's scrotum.
I prefer to picture something else.
Well, let the audience hear this. An old man's scrotum, right? Hanging low. Now picture it pussy and red. Now picture it resting on the back of my tongue.
Oh, man.
It was so bad.
Oh, my God.
Dude, the only thing I ate for a week was pudding.
Yum.
My abs are gone. I had pudding for dinner, breakfast, and lunch.
Well, anyway, so I had to go to Vegas and represent. But the minute that Zach said, I'm not going to Vegas, my wife was like, hey, you know what? I don't think I want to go either.
Oh, shit. That's
no
not
bullshit.
True.
She's like, she was like, you know.
She said that you said that.
She could say whatever the fuck she wants.
I'm not trying to get in the middle of this couple, even though I always do. But she said that you were like, oh, babe, now it's just going to be work. So
no, that's what she said. She's trying to throw it off on me. But she was like, you know what, baby? Now that, you know, Zach's not going and, you know, Mark's not going, it's just going to be work for you. So I don't think I should go.
Oh, she totally, listen, I could be a couples counselor because she had a total different version of that story.
Whatever. And that's fine. So anyway, I'm like, so I agree. And I'm like, all right, bet, fine. You don't have to go. So now I'm in Vegas hanging out with Will. Joelle also had strep throat too. She was supposed to go. And somewhere down the line, she said, I can't make it. And so she's out also. So now it's just me, Will Pearson.
And Will Pearson's, for those of you who don't know, is the head of podcast at iHeart, right,
mm-hmm.
Daniel?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, sorry,
wait,
Donald's.
Oh, it gets crazy.
All right, keep going.
Right? And they're like, we're going to fly you out on the iHeart jet. And I'm like, all right, bet.
That was posh. Sounds good. Posh.
Flew out on the iHeart jet, got to Vegas.
Did you get a drink on the PJ?
I didn't get a drink on the PJ. That,
really? Why don't you live it up?
Because I'm trying to, well, there's reasons.
You were trying to
there's
slim
reasons.
Out. You were
there's
trying
reasons.
To slim out.
There's
all
reasons, right. Right. All right, I'm trying to, anyway.
Also, so, you're talking to the CEO of iHeart. You didn't want to get
right,
a buzz.
I don't want to be that guy, right? So,
what did you guys talk about?
Well, the CEO isn't on the jet, right? So we get there and he's
just you alone or you and Will?
It's me by myself on the iHeart jet.
Oh, you didn't tell me that. Why didn't you spread out and order some
super
champagne?
Lugs.
Because there was no champagne. There was fruit, and the fruit was delicious.
There was fruit.
Fruit was delicious. Good, good.
The fruit was delicious. It was magnificent.
Listen, if I was alone,
if you ever have
if
fruit
I was alone
on a PJ,
on,
well, no, well, there's still the pilots. Alone, there's still the pilots.
If I was alone on a PJ, I would have spread out. I would have been like, what do you guys got in the bar?
Yeah. I was there to work and
dude,
make shit happen.
There was definitely booze on the iHeart PJ.
There was no booze. So we land. There was booze, but I wasn't drinking.
That's my point.
So we land. We get to the hotel and we start, you know, and I'm like, you know what? I got a little bit of time before I got to do any of these events. Let's go to the casino. I take some money out of the ATM machine.
Takes a picture of it.
And I put it at, you know, I go to the table and I start to bet. And then I realize this isn't fun anymore for me. Do you know when betting is fun, people?
Rent's
this is when it's paying your motherfucking rent. That's when betting is the best. It's listen, when life as you know it is on the line. Like remember in Swingers when they go to Vegas and he's like, this is blood money.
Yeah.
That's when betting is the best. Other than that, you just feel like you're giving money away to this casino. So I was like, you know what? I don't want to play. I don't want to gamble.
The funniest part was, wait, I had to tell you my side of this. So Donald texts me like picture of the money he's pulled out of the ATM. Hmm. And I'm like, go bet some blackjack. Go have fun. Just because you're there alone. You know, I feel so bad, by the way. But I'm like, just because you're there alone doesn't mean you can't make some fun, dude. Go play some blackjack. Go do something. And he goes, I don't want to risk this money. Like, you know, I just moved into a new house. I'm like, you know, we're spending a lot of money on fix up the house. And I go, bro, go have some fun with some of your money. Go play with a couple $1,000 and just, you know, that's, you know, keep it capped and don't be stupid. And he's like, you're right. 2 seconds later, I get a text from Casey. Well, there goes the fancy oven I wanted.
And I'm you'll be happy to know.
And
that
I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Because it was so quick. It was literally like five Mississippi later. She's like, you told Donald to gamble. I'm not getting that oven I was looking at.
Well, you'll be happy to know I did not spend the money.
I didn't lose an oven.
I was not stupid. Although I did sit down with some lovely people and watch them lose money.
Yeah. It's fun to watch other people lose money. I remember watching Bill.
It's gut-wrenching, actually.
When we first went to Vegas with Bill, and he, you know, he was obviously already a very wealthy man, I would watch him play blackjack with huge hands. And I was like, wow, I've never seen this with somebody I know. And he goes, yeah, like, you know, you got to bet enough to make it hurt a little. Like, whatever level you're at, it's got to hurt a little. And I was watching him hurt a little. But yeah, it's fun to watch somebody else play like that. Have you ever watched like people play with like
$5,000 hands? Yes, yeah. I've seen that before. Yeah. Yes.
It's fun to watch.
It is fun to watch. And it's unbelievable that there are people out there that have that type of money.
I watched
out
the dude playing with $5,000 chips blackjack. Yeah. And he was like stacking them.
The chips were brown. I remember. And he had a bunch of them. I was like, wow.
I've never seen anything
like
that before.
And he didn't share with anyone.
He didn't care. I mean, think how rich that dude is. It's like, this is just, but then again, by your logic, like that's his, for him to have fun playing blackjack and make it quote unquote hurt a little bit, he's got to be fucking around with that level of money.
So this was the best part about, well, there's a bunch of best parts that I'll get into the iHeart side of things and everything, but here was a great part. So I finished all of my stuff that I had to do with iHeart and I'm on that. I don't want to spend any money shit. And I go down to the casino lobby, you know, where the blackjack table is, and I see a guy there that was there earlier, and he has way more chips than he had earlier. And he's like, hey, come sit down and join me. I'm like, I'm not betting. He's like, here, play with this. And he puts $500 in front of me. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, just play with this.
That's so awkward because you're like, that's a nice gesture, sir. But I'm going to, if I lose your money, I'm going to feel weird.
Right. And he's like, oh, don't worry about it. And I'm like, okay, sure, fine. I'm like, so in my mind, I'm like, I don't want to be a dick. This dude just like somebody offering you a drink and you being like, no, I'm not taking that drink.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I sit down at the table and I play and I get that thing up to $1,000. And I turn to him and I go, here you go, sir. I doubled your money. I'm out. And he goes, no. Yo, keep it. And I'm like,
the whole thing? It's one thing to pay him off and keep the winnings. He wouldn't take the 500 back?
I was trying to give him it all back.
Right.
He's like, keep it.
Here, I won you $500.
Right. And he's like, no, keep it. Because, you know, you bring me luck. We're sitting down. And when he said that, I'm like, oh, my God. Is this one of those, what was that movie where Robert Redford sleeps with Demi Moore for $1 million?
Yeah, he was going to pay you $1 million to sleep
with. I was like, am I going to get to this? Is this going to be $1 million moment?
Can you imagine if you text me and Casey, you guys, it's $1 million. It's just a hand job.
Right. All I have to do. All listen, I got to do is shake weight this babe, shit. Think, all babe, I got to do is shake weight it.
Yeah, just do the shake weight. Babe, you want it in an oven? Think of that kitchen if I get $1 million from this handy.
But I'm thinking that, oh, this is going to go in that direction. Let me get out of this as quick as possible. I don't want to leave this man on. Right. And he's like, no, please just take it. I'm like, I'm not going to take your money, bro. Get out of here. And he's like, all right, well, then sit down at the table and just, you know, I was like, and just gamble it away. And I was like, all right, bet I'll do that. No problem. So I sit down at the table, but I'm still like, if I'm here any longer, I doubt it's going to turn into something, but you never know. I don't want to lead this guy on.
Also, it's just a weird, like, I'm obligated to hang out with you now thing. Like, you know?
So I gamble that shit away right away and I get the fuck out of there.
Right. You lost it real quick.
Real quick. And I say thank you and everything like that. And, you know, he goes, listen, I want to tell you something, man. The fact that you didn't take the money makes me think that you're a real nice guy. And I just wanted to, and I'm like, gotta go.
Oh, no. And I just wanted to see, let me see how soft your hands are. Are your hands calloused? I got to say, since we're talking about iHeart and podcasts, that we are nominated, Donald, you might not even know this, for an iHeart Podcast Award.
That's awesome.
And it's a little bit embarrassing because we're not nominated it's iHeart, right? And we're an iHeart podcast. But we're not nominated in Podcast of the Year. Right? Which you would think would be the only category. But that's like Smartless and Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, which I'm about to do for my movie, A Good Person.
Oh, and it's fun.
Amazing podcast. And other, you know, is Crime Junkie, I'm just mentioning a few, and a bunch I don't know. But then you think, okay, well, that's too bad. Those are huge podcasts. That's okay. Then you scroll down, right? And you scroll down. And you keep scrolling down, and you keep scrolling down. If you keep scrolling, please, audience, I'm asking you, keep scrolling. And you're going to get to Best TV and Film Podcast. And there, at the bottom of the list, is Fake Doctors, Real Friends.
How many other podcasts are nominated in our category?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And one of them is Films to be Buried With, which is Brett Goldstein's wonderful podcast. So if Brett beats us, I'm going to be very pissed.
Are you calling his podcast wonderful?
It is a very good podcast. It's not as genius as ours. Also, How Did This Get Made? I think is one of the top podcasts in the country.
We're being set up for failure. So check this out. So I get out there, I do all of this media stuff. I've talked to Xbox. I've talked to Microsoft. I really like what Microsoft is doing. I really think that there's a spot for Fake Doctors, Real Friends in Microsoft. I'm just putting it out there. I really feel like there's a spot for Fake Doctors, Real Friends.
What would the spot be in Microsoft?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they have like video games on Xbox.
Right. And we can be ourselves.
I'm saying that there are video games out there that specifically have podcasts on them.
Really?
And how?
What's an example?
Well, there's.
Daniel probably plays them.
Roblox has a podcast on it.
It does?
Yeah, and so does one of my favorite video games ever, the video game that almost ruined my career because
GTA.
Every 12-year-old boy in the world hated me.
Fortnite.
But Fortnite.
Yes.
Also Fortnite has a podcast on it in Fortnite Land. There's iHeartland.
Yeah, there's iHeartland in Fortnite.
Oh, I want to be there.
And so, but these are the things I'm learning, right? And then I sat down with, you know, people like Ben and Jerry's. You know, I know that's your favorite ice cream and stuff like that.
Ben and Jerry's.
And I rubbed it in their face. I was like, if Zach were here right now, he would love to be talking to you guys about some ice cream.
I seriously got to say, like, there's no product I could advertise more genuinely and wholeheartedly than Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Co-side.
I can't have it in my home. It's the equivalent of cocaine for a cocaine addict.
Then
Daniel,
do
you have this issue?
100%. A pint of Chubby Hubby does not last more than a single day.
Yeah, I like Netflix and chilled. And I told you, I go down to like half, and then I put it away, and then I'm back on the couch, and I'm just thinking about it.
I love these naughty names that Ben and Jerry's.
I'm like, what does it matter if you eat it tomorrow or today? It's all going in the same hole.
Perfect.
Go ahead.
And then finally, the day was done.
Right.
Got on a plane to go back home with Bob Pittman,
the CEO of iHeart.
The CEO of iHeart.
You were on the plane with him?
On the plane with him.
Wow. Yeah.
Donald let him get on his own PJ with him.
And John Sykes, the president of Entertainment Enterprises at iHeartMedia. So I'm just saying that's who I was on the plane with.
Oh.
Wow. Donald, you didn't say anything embarrassing this whole trip?
I might have said some dumb shit.
Oh, look who's decided to join us.
Without bangs. I'm so disappointed without bangs.
How's Zoe? Did you guys get bangs together?
I actually had to leave Zoe. I was not with her. I was with Will Packer doing some stuff over there.
Oh, I love Will. What the fuck is up with Will? What's he doing?
He has a podcast network at iHeart now. I'm helping run the thing. It's good times.
Yay.
Well, Joelle, I'm happy for your success, but I also feel needy and miss you.
Uh-huh.
And I want you to have everything that's happening to you happen. But I do feel sad when you're not here.
You lighten up my world when you send me videos of adorable pugs, Zach.
Listen,
and it is my intention to miss as few of the minutes I get to spend with you guys as possible. Today, 12:30 was just the only time anyone could do anything. It was literally
no one on the
internet. Today at 12:30, I had plans too, Joelle.
Joelle.
And you know what? I put those plans aside for this one little thing that I have committed to called Fake Doctors, Real Friends podcast.
Yeah,
I'm just putting it out there, Joelle.
Spielberg called me and said, can we meet at 12:30 on Thursday? And I said, no, Steven.
Stop it.
No.
You would never.
I don't want to be late to Joelle, is what I said to Steven.
He's doing Fableman's 2.
The thought of that is hilarious.
Speaking of Spielberg, have you seen his movie?
Hell
I
yeah!
I did see his movie. Yeah,
I can't wait to see it. I really want to watch it. I've been waiting
Donald,
to watch it.
It's amazing.
I'm willing to bet money that it's amazing. You know what movie I did see?
What?
Violent Night. Did you see that shit?
Not yet.
No, that's
that shit is fucking fire, dude. Yo, bro, David Harbour. Yo, my man kills it, dude. Yo, listen.
I'm like horror. I didn't know that about you.
It's not horror. This shit is action. I like action adventure. And that's what this bad boy is. This bad boy is action adventure. But it's horror in a way that you like close your eyes because you know that the gore is like the way these people are about to die is going to be
but
so
it's gory.
Gross.
It's gory,
it's
right?
Nasty. Like it's gross.
That's
like,
not my Steve.
Face ripping. Oh, but the movie's so funny. It is your Steve's, I promise you. And it's got so much heart. Listen, these are movies that I'm going to go out there and
it's
I'm
got
gonna,
gore and heart.
I've never watched. Listen. Awesome. I've never experienced it. I think like whatchamacallit, Slither is like another movie that has gore and heart in it. You know what I mean?
It does. Yeah.
That's
James Gunn?
That was one of his earlier movies, starring the lovely Elizabeth Banks, by the way. Anyway, that's a movie that's gory and has heart. But this one, oh man, Violent Night. Yo, David Harbour, good job, bro. And I think it's
something.
A British movie too, because it's like and John Leguizamo, good job, bro.
I know a movie because it's fun. Hard to talk about movies on here because I know you don't watch that many. But there was one that I saw that I know was probably your favorite of the year that was magnificent, which was Pinocchio.
Oh.
I loved
it. Oh, it's so good. Oh, my God.
Listen.
Oh, my heart.
Okay. So when I first started animating, Robot Chicken started at Shadow Machine. So my first time ever interning was at Shadow Machine when it was in Los Angeles. It's since moved to Portland. Corey and Alex are no longer in LA, from what I understand. I'm just going to give them the shout outs. Corey and Alex, great job. However, Guillermo del Toro and you connected to make this project, it's amazing. And you got some of the best animators on it. And I understand why you moved to Portland too, because that's where a lot of the talent is. I get that.
Well, I think a lot of the animation is, because I watched the behind the scenes, was done in Mexico as
Some of it's done in Mexico as well.
There were four animation studios involved in the production, and Guillermo actually created the production house in Mexico as a way to showcase the talent that's down there. So now there's like an international animation studio.
There's always been good animation in Mexico, sincerely. Like, a lot of the accounts that I follow are south of the border.
Every time I see a stop motion movie, I just am blown away by the amount of work. And then, and this one like took it to the next level. Like, I just could not believe the amount of artistry. And then I watched, I was so into it, and I know this is your passion. I went and watched, there's a making of documentary, which really just blows your mind. The amount of man slash woman hours that went into making this movie.
Like, there've been recently in like the last, I'll say 20 years, there have been like four, you know, stop motion is an art form that not a lot of people can do or not a lot of people want to do.
That was one of the best examples of stop motion animation I've ever seen in my life. It was just incredible. So we should get into the show. But before we do, I just want to say, if you haven't gone to see my trailer on YouTube, please go check it out. If you put
It's one of the most anticipated movies of the 2023. You know that, right?
Well, I've been on a couple of those lists. Well, it's exciting.
Well,
by the way, Florence is on, I don't know if you saw, but Florence Pugh, our star, is on the cover of Vogue this month. It just came out.
Looking lovely, too. Holy she looks cow, gorgeous. Flo. Go get him, girl.
She looks gorgeous. And read the article. Even if you don't normally aren't the person who would read a Vogue article, it's a really good article. And it also talks about the movie, and it talks about the inspiration for the movie. And it's really good. And you can find the trailer on YouTube if you put in a good person trailer.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved playtime off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Let me tell you guys, my family loves our Helix sleep mattress. Ever since we've got it, we've had some of our best sleep yet.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Everybody is unique, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences.
Not only is the mattress the best I've slept on, but the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free.
Helix is offering 20% off of all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/realfriends and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
So that's all the announcements. And now we're going to talk about the TV show Scrubs. But one more thing before we do.
Zach and Donald are gay newlyweds in house arrest.
Perfect.
5, 6, 7, 8. Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know. So gather around to hear our
My Dumb Luck. What an episode. Great episode.
Yeah, it was a great episode.
Written by the lovely and talented Asim Batra.
Yes, directed by Rick Blue.
Directed by Rick Blue, who was one of our main editors on all of the main 8 seasons of the show, and also directed a few. A lovely guy. And he actually was a featured background performer.
Yeah.
He played the cafeteria worker.
Sounds good how that rolled off your tongue.
Now, listen, I got to say, when we were shooting this very famous sequence, in terms of Scrubs lore famous, The Love Train, I didn't think it was that funny.
But neither
people,
did I.
People love this.
Yes.
I have seen this GIF. It's one of the top GIFs that gets sent to me or I see on the web, Scrubs related, is us with the old people. So the senior citizens in the story need to be moved out of the geriatric wing because it's something is being done to it. And we have to move them around, and they're wandering all over the place. And
they're taking forever.
Yes. And Turk and JD are like cattle dogs that are trying to wrangle the cattle.
I like that. I like that. Cattle dogs. Yeah.
And the cattle, and we say, this is so tricky. If only there was another way. And then we cut to the most random fantasy.
No, she's like, if only we could somehow form a train. And then you're like, all aboard, everybody. And
the
then
you
literally,
train.
JD turns to camera and goes, the love train.
Yeah, right into the lens.
Yeah.
Which is, as you know, we don't do that much. Right into the lens with that with sparkly 70s hat.
People all over the world,
mm-hmm.
Join hands.
Yes.
Start a love train.
Yes.
Love train.
Yeah. So they formed a train of wheelchairs.
Of love.
But listen, I remember shooting this.
But like a train of wheelchairs, like a train of shopping carts at
and you're
the supermarket.
Riding, and yeah, but you're riding like the locomotive.
Yes.
I remember this long ago thinking, I will do this, but I don't think this is that funny.
I remember this too.
And I remember going, you know what? I trust Bill. Lean into it. And this many years later, it's something that gets sent to me all the time as a GIF on the interwebs.
I guess everybody loves a train. I mean, everybody loves a little ass play.
Whoa.
Everybody loves a little ass play.
Let me find it.
Everybody likes a little ass play, dude.
Yeah, okay. It's a little early in the new year.
And everybody loves a little train.
Right. Well, not everyone loves train in the sexual way, Donald, if that's what you mean.
Nah, that's not what I meant.
Oh, I I do love trains, regular trains.
Real, like, you know, like little, like, not even if you riding on a train, if you see a little train set going around something, you're like, oh, look at the little train.
You well, know, actually, there's trains, train. As you know, there's a train subplot in my film, a Morgan Freeman's character. It's his hobby.
That's not a spoiler.
That's not a spoiler. It's in the trailer that you can now go watch on YouTube. But I love trains. I had a model train set as a kid, and I love trains. Anyway, so that's this. Now, Kelso is really in a bad place because it's been revealed to the board how old he is because he was lying, and now they want to kick him out. And
he's 65 years old, and he's supposed to phase out at this point in time.
Well, I guess at Sacred Heart Hospital, that's when they want you to retire, and he was sort of lying to hide it. And well, the first time we see Kelso, he wipes his hands on...
Well, he's telling Ted how lovely his jacket is as he's right. touching it. You know, he's like, this is such a lovely jacket, Ted. It kind of reminded me of the Eddie Murphy line in Coming to America. This is beautiful! What is that, velvet?
Yeah, and he goes, Ted says, it's a poly-nylon blend. Well, anyway, we learned that Kelso was just drying his hands on Ted.
On his jacket.
And poor Ted, he's so been beaten down for so many years by Kelso. And he doesn't know yet that the board is forcing Kelso to retire. We do learn that Kelso stole an MRI machine.
Yes.
And is hiding it in his basement.
In his basement. For...
Joel, can you find out what the average cost of an MRI machine
is? Yes, I can.
I know that GE made...
It must be $1 million.
I know that GE made the MRI machines
yes.
that
Yeah,
I
so
did.
look for a GE one.
Yeah. I know GE makes them.
Yeah. But I imagine it's got to be $1 million for an MRI machine, at least.
At least.
Okay. Now, Kelso has one in his basement. What does it say, Joel?
Sorry, I've got used and new, and I didn't know you could buy them like cars.
No, so. I want a new. I want a new.
I don't want a used one.
Do you think you can buy one for your house if you're just a regular Joe, or do you need to be a hospital?
I mean, I'm sure there's some sort that's like a magnetic field in there. I'm sure there's something that has to be.
All right. Well, anyway, the point, Joel will find dangerous. Out the price, but the point is Kelso stole one and has it in his basement.
Well, yes. I think Joel found out the price.
Well, yeah. So you can go as cheap if you go generic as $150,000. Or as expensive as $1.2 million for a state-of-the-art 3D yeah. visual.
Well, I'm guessing this is Sacred Heart, so he probably has the $150,000 version.
Well, no, or you could look at it like he ordered a brand new $1.5 million one and then put that shit in his basement. How do you sell it on the black market? I mean, it must be tricky to be like, go on eBay.
Got an MRI.
Yeah, go on eBay with an MRI machine.
With a stolen MRI machine.
Right.
Like that.
Right. No questions asked. You have to come pick it up. And you have to come pick it up in my basement. Can you imagine? They're like, oh, great. Well, our hospital, we just raised enough money to afford our first MRI machine. All right, great. You need to come by my basement.
Come pick it up.
All right. So Carl and Elliot are really committed to helping because they both feel bad, and they spend the whole episode
feels bad because she's the one that actually outed Kelso's age by throwing that birthday party for him.
Right. And they are going to team up because they feel really bad, and they're going to try and rally. The problem with trying to rally everyone is that everybody hates him. He's the ultimate bad guy in the hospital, and no one is interested in helping save his job other than these two ladies.
Well, actually, this whole episode is about teaming up. You know, the whole episode, literally, like it's a team up. JD and Turk, the usual team up. Mm-hmm. They go on a quest. Yeah. Elliot and Carla try to team up the whole hospital. They try to Avengers assemble the situation for
Avengers assemble
for Kelso. So they try to assemble the hospital, and then you know, there's always the loner, and that's John C. McGinley. In both stories, Dr. Cox is the loner and is the glue to figuring out the dilemma, I guess we would say.
Well, I want to say, in the spirit of the theme you were saying, there's also Kelso teaming up with the polar opposite of him, who is a brand new baby-faced intern named Boone, who he sort of kidnaps in a way and makes him sit on a bench while he stares up at the hospital and reminisces for the whole hospital.
I just got to say, you know, we talk about how wonderful of an actor all of our castmates are and stuff like that. Ken Jenkins really does shine in this episode, though.
Yeah.
He really does tell some great stories. And he takes you on a roller coaster, too. You know what I mean? Like, just when you think he's being really serious and he's you know, confiding all of his, you know, insecurities and Boone and everything like that. He drops him with the freaking jump scare, you know. Like he has so many levels in this. Ken does, and one,
you're
it's
right.
It's a testament to Ken as an actor, but also to Asim and Bill and the staff of writers as writers on the show. Because we're 7 years in and still able to, like, at the end of the show, I still got emotional.
Yeah, me
because
too.
because of all of the groundwork Ken laid in the episode.
And it's what a feat to make you feel such empathy for Kelso by the end of this episode, because you know that you don't really, there's very few moments where throughout this episode, throughout the show so far, where Bill and the writers make you feel like Kelso has a shimmer of being a good person inside of him. Right. And there's a moment or two in here where you see that underneath that sort of the super hard, tough exterior comes with trying to run a hospital and having to say no so many times a day and having to let people down so many times a day that he's built up this crazy thick armor.
You learn the origin story of the armor. The first person that he ever killed, like he says, it's a really dark conversation, but he asks Boone, have you ever killed anyone? Have you killed anyone yet?
Yeah.
He's like, you'll remember. He's like, I remember mine. He's like, I had a young girl come into the hospital and I thought it was appendicitis. Turns out she was pregnant. and he fucked that up, and the girl died, dude.
Yeah, she was He says she was ectopic, and she was bleeding internally, and he didn't know, and that was his first death, and he's never forgotten about it.
But that's what caused him to build a wall. Like, I, you know, how do you come back from that? You know how you come back from that? You bury it, and you come back the next day, and you go at your job again, you know?
Right. Well, there's a really sweet moment. We're jumping ahead, but after he's spoken all these really meaningful and funny stories about the hospital and how much it's taken a toll on him, the kid stands up and he says, is this going to be the, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, is this going to be like a horrible 20 years? And he goes, no, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah. He had some of the stories were just, you know, wonderful. And
well, we got to read one because it's so crazy, and it's on Scrubs Wiki. I wasn't going to write the whole thing down, but Scrubs Wiki has it. So we'll read it when we get there.
But, all right, so let's go back. So Turk and JD are poking the bear. The bear is Dr. Cox, who cannot diagnose his patient. This patient's been coming back to the hospital for years now, and Cox keeps sending him away undiagnosed.
Yeah, Cox is stumped. The patient's name is Alex, and Cox is rarely stumped, but he just can't figure this out. And Turk and JD are just loving this because he's Mr. Know-It-All, he's Mr. Cocky, and they decide that they're going to poke the bear and fuck with him because he can't figure it out. And then...
Also, not only that, Ted, you were saying this earlier, Ted doesn't know that Kelso is no longer going to be working at the hospital. And when he finds out, he goes on a naked run.
he strips down to nothing.
And goes for a naked run throughout the hospital yelling, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, through the hospital hallways.
Yeah, which is hilarious. And then Rick Blue, the director, cleverly hides his junk when a guy leans over with his head.
Right. So, Several times.
Yeah, there's really clever ways to cover Sam's groin as he runs naked through the hospital and out the front door until...
Where he gets hit by a van driven by the janitor
and
bites his tongue off.
He bites his tongue off, and not only that, he stands up. He does that hilarious spinning fall.
Yeah.
You see that?
When he passes out. When he passes out.
God, Sam Lloyd does such a funny physical comedy pass out, which is like a spinning turn fall, and then you see blood just spurred up.
Right. He gets hit by the truck. The janitor comes out and goes, "Are you okay, buddy?" And he stands up and goes and nods yes. And he goes, "Are you not talking because you bit your tongue off and your mouth is filling with blood?" And then we cut back to Ted, and now he's like a trombone player with his mouth blown all the way up with blood. Right. And he nods and he goes, "Oh, are you about to pass out?" And Ted passes out with the spinning pass out.
Yeah.
And when he falls, all the blood in his mouth splats up into the air.
Yeah. And it looks like, you know, today they'd probably do that in post effect, but it looks like that was practical.
Like, right. It looks like somebody was there with a packet and just hit it.
Yeah, just fucking hit it. And it just flies up in the foreground. That was funny.
And then
that's the cold open, but I want to say there's one thing else that we didn't talk about, which was, Johnny C does the thing with the bungee cord, right? And he snaps it at me, but I don't care. And then you and I are hugging from the adrenaline because we're so adrenalined up because we had the balls to fuck with Dr. Cox. And then I while I'm hugging you, I go, "You smell like an athlete."
Yes. There are a lot of people out there who know what an athlete smells
like. Well, JD doesn't know, really, because he's not an athlete, but he imagines that that's what an athlete smells like.
I was going to get nasty, but
all
I'm
right,
not going
to. So,
I'm not going to. I was going to get nasty, but I'm not going to.
Well, we don't need you to get nasty. It's too early in the new year. People's ears are still fresh.
Is it too early to get nasty?
Don't get nasty yet.
Is it too early to get nasty?
There's a funny line where Kelso's the kid.
Boone, shit's hilarious.
He's trying to avoid Kelso, and he goes, "I don't care if the cure for cancer was laughter and you had Nipsey Russell in your backpack." pocket.
In your back pocket.
Now, the kids might not know who Nipsey Russell is, but he was a very funny comic actor.
He was in a great movie.
Wildcats.
Well, many, many great Wildcats, movies. But he was also in The Wiz. Yeah. He played the Tin Man in The Wiz.
Yeah.
But I know what your favorite catchphrase of his
Right. Hey, I got to see Goldie Hawn over break because I had dinner with Kate and her mom, and I got to, with a healthy buzz on, tell her how much I loved Wildcats as a child.
Oh God, dude.
No, but
Did you talk about the bathtub scene?
No. No, but she, that you know what I love about...
When I was a kid, that was the best part of Wildcats for me. Fuck Goldie, the football, Goldie Hawn with a towel trying to wrap her body in that shit.
She's so beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
One thing I love about Goldie Hawn is she's so down to talk about old stories. You know, she doesn't ever feel like one of those people like you're bothering, like, can we just talk about Wildcats? And she was so into chatting about old stories and telling fun anecdotes and... So anyway, I really loved Wildcats when I was. I loved Goldie Hawn and everything.
But. Well, Wildcats had the introduction of two other young actors by the name of Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes. Both of them star in Wildcats. They go on to make another great movie called Money Train. But some of you might be like, Donald, I thought you were going to say White Men Can't Jump. I was, but Money Train is Jennifer Lopez's big introduction.
I forgot that Woody and Wesley had made so many movies together.
Oh man, White Men Can't Jump is by far their best movie that they made together with them.
But
both
of their big break was Wildcats.
Well, I believe that was the movie. That's the first time I had ever seen them was Wildcats.
How about Eddie at the Golden Globes?
That shit was hilarious.
Amazing.
That shit was hilarious.
When he said, pay your taxes, mind your business.
He's right, though. If you nail it, at least the first two were right. Pay your taxes and mind your business is something that everybody out there should do a little bit more. Isn't pay your taxes
about Wesley Snipes?
I mean, pay your taxes about anybody, man.
I thought it was a Wesley Snipes joke.
I thought Wesley Snipes first, too.
Well, him and Wesley make movies together, and from what I understand... I don't know.
I'm not saying
this goes into the next part of the conversation. Mind your business. That shit was the most poignant freaking.
No, but then Eddie so geniusly, he kept that shit low. If you look at that speech, this is the genius of Eddie Murphy. It was like, why is Eddie like barely just telling this speech like this volume? And it was all a long buildup for the last fucking Will Smith joke.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep Will Smith's wife's name out your motherfucking mouth.
You didn't laugh at that?
I laughed hard. I. You know what? I thought the Globes was very, very, obviously it's going to be different now because they have a lot of, at least they feel like they have a lot of making up to do to get.
It was kind
of
cringe.
Yeah, but it was cringe in the right way. These are things that should be talked about. You know what I mean? Like all of these things that everybody has a hard time talking about, let's talk about that shit so it's we no longer have a hard time talking about the shit. You know what I mean?
Joelle, instead of burying it. What are your thoughts on it?
It was interesting. A lot of people who said they weren't going to come showed up, no names, but I was like, okay, interesting. It does seem like the org is trying to make some good changes, which I think is all you can really ask them to do. I think it's important that we have international press in Hollywood and a space for them to voice, you know, what they love. And it was nice to see a whole bunch of international films like RRR won an award, which was great. So I loved all of that. I think hiring Gerard Carmichael is probably the smartest thing they could have done because that kid is so smart
and funny. He's different.
Which is why he's intriguing. And so I think having him set the tone really said, okay, like, listen, it might be weird and awkward tonight, but we're trying to get back on the right foot. And again, if you mess up that bad, what else can you do but just try to make it right?
I feel like everybody who thought it was what the stuff that he was saying was cringeworthy thought about it the next day still, though. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Every point that he made last night was enough for me, at least, to be like, damn, remember when he said... that shit.
Mm-hmm. How funny was Jennifer Coolidge though?
Wonderful speech.
Oh, come on, man.
Both times she comes out for her presentation monologue, I laughed so hard. She's just so wacky and funny. And then her acceptance speech, where when they kept cutting to Mike White sobbing, I just like that was one of the most amazing things.
Mm. I just like that she was like, and they were like, hey, you, Jennifer.
What about when she's like, my neighbors are finally talking to me. And I'd never been, I didn't know there were so many parties on my street, but they're all
They're all inviting me to parties now.
That one, and then Key's freaking acceptance speech.
Yeah, when he thanks Spielberg.
From freaking Indiana Jones.
That was so moving. And not only is pointing out Spielberg, but just talking about how he thought his career was over. He thought that's all that would ever happen. And if you haven't seen it, listeners, go YouTube at least that. That was so moving. And so was Jennifer Coolidge's. You know what my favorite part was, though? When Mike White was up there and he's like, listen, I haven't had any food because the food was gone. So I'm drunk. But then he points it all and he goes, you all passed. Meaning like all the actors had passed on all the roles in the thing. You didn't see that, Daniel?
No, I did not.
It was
not.
So
that's very funny.
He's like, I want to thank the amazing cast we have, but let's just be honest. He starts pointing at all the celebrities in the audience. He's like, you all passed.
That's funny.
That's wonderful.
You know, I really hope they can get it back on track. I know that, you know, there's a lot of things that need to change as far as Hollywood foreign press goes. You know, there are a lot of, I would say, you know, I don't think it represents people very well yet, and eventually it will. But as far as the show goes, that shit was very entertaining. And I think the cringe that you were talking about was part of the entertainment. It was enough for me to stay and watch. Like, I wonder what Gerard's going to say next.
No, but some of the cringe, I just mean like this poor piano player, right? So they decided to have an amazingly talented piano player. And what's weird about that, unless it's canned music that just comes on, people start directing their ire about being played off to this woman. Like, it was her decision to be like, and now I'll start playing. And I just thought that was so uncomfortable. It's like, guys, she's being cued to start playing.
It still was hilarious when what's her name? Michelle Yeoh says, hey, stop playing that piano. I could kick your ass.
It was funny until this morning, because I follow that piano player on IG, and she was talking about, you know, just it was a big opportunity for her to play at the Golden Globes.
What did she say? Because I felt bad for her. Like, people were directing their anger at her. Like, she has anything to do with someone in her ear saying, start playing them off.
She didn't say anything specific other than to thank Gerard for coming to speak up for her toward the end of the ceremony. She said she was grateful for that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it was...
That shit was entertaining, man. Regardless of, you know, whatever it is. And I don't mean entertaining like, what a great show. I mean entertaining like, this is...
I can't
turn
this off.
Yeah, I cannot turn this away. I cannot turn away from this.
There were some great speeches. You know who was so funny was Regina Hall.
Yes.
Was she a stand-up before or something?
No, she's just amazing. Funny.
She was acting like a stand-up.
Mm-hmm. No, she's always been like... A lot of people don't know this, but she's not only is she look, I know her as a comedic actor, and now she's starting to get her roses, her flowers for being a dramatic actor.
Yes.
But she's always been a comedic actor.
No, but when she was clowning on Kevin Costner and she was let's all pray for him in Santa Barbara.
With the mudslides.
Do you think she had a buzz on? Or I couldn't tell if she was just clowning on people because she had a buzz.
No, that's just Regina. If you watch any of her interviews, like,
she was
I'll find a clip and send it to you. There's an interview where she just starts, like, no questions are being directed to her. It's like one of those big cast interviews. So she just starts flirting with the cast members and pulling from their questions to the point where they can't answer anymore. It's so funny. She's just great. She's so naturally talented.
She's always been amazing.
She was so charming, and she had me rolling. Like, let's all pray for him sheltering in place in Santa Barbara. All right, we got to go to break. We promise when we come back, we will talk more about the television show Scrubs.
Fuck your sound effects machine.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved playtime off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Let me tell you guys, my family loves our Helix sleep mattress. Ever since we've got it, we've had some of our best sleep yet.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Everybody is unique, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences.
Not only is the mattress the best I've slept on, but the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free.
Helix is offering 20% off of all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/realfriends and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Hey, listeners, how is your social battery right now?
It can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
Everyone has a different capacity for socializing and different ways of recharging. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time.
Either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/RealFriends today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. .com/realfriends.
And we're back.
Everybody likes a little ass play. Don't even act like you don't.
We are back. We are back with the legendary Donald Faison, Joelle Monique, who's down to get down, apparently. Daniel, let's play that song here. We haven't heard in a while.
Get the word out all over the town. Joelle Monique is down to get. Tomorrow morning you could be making an X. Joelle Monique is down to get down. Oh yeah. Joelle Monique is down to get down.
And of course, DJ Daniel Goodman, everyone's favorite Twitcher. What's your Twitch handle so people can watch you Twitch?
Twitch.tv/DJ_Daniel. D-A-N-L. Yes. Live
Wednesdays, what are you Fridays, playing and Sundays. What are you playing these days?
Before we started recording, I was telling Donald that I just created my own random trivia game, and I've been beta testing that. Tried that last night, so come on down.
What kind
Maybe
of trivia?
You could be a contestant. It's
like Jeopardy?
Random.
Yeah, kind of it's Jeopardy random. Style.
So, like, look, it could be the easiest question in the world, or it could be the most hard. Mm-hmm. It could be a hard question.
Yeah, and okay. I made a character.
And it's a video
bot.
Game, or you're just doing it as like a host?
I made it. No, I just created it myself. Yeah, I'm a host. Oh. I'm hosting it. But then
and so your Twitch followers, how do they answer in the comments section?
They answer in the comments. It's like a little quick fire round. I do a quick fire. The first person to answer a question then becomes the contestant. They get on, and then it's
you invite them on the Twitch stream.
Mm-hmm. I invite them on the Twitch stream.
That sounds fun.
It's not bad.
Can I tell you something, guys?
Right.
Sure.
Johnny Depp did bring back the fedora.
Okay.
Word. Well, let's give the audience some context if you haven't seen the episode in a while. Turk is fascinated with wearing his new fedora. And by the way, fedoras look dumb on a lot of people, but you looked great.
You rocked that fedora.
The joke didn't work because you looked great.
Turk says, I bet I look good in a fedora. And then he puts the fedora on. I've been trying to tell Spielberg and Lucas that shit for years.
Ever since I saw that you look good in a fedora,
I could be Indiana Jones's illegitimate son. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm sure. Don't you think Indy over the years probably has some children he doesn't know about?
Absolutely. And the young boy goes by Alabama Jackson. Obviously,
right?
It's already there.
He was like, I'm not going to use that Jones name.
You already gave him Black Stormtrooper. Why don't you? They're going to take this from you too.
No, listen.
You're gonna hear like, and now Donald Glover is Alabama Jackson.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! My heart just dropped so deep into my chest. Oh my god! That's a nightmare. Oh god. Yo, look, I've seen, listen, now I'm about to digress, but I've seen the trailer for Indiana Jones, and that shit looks phenomenal. I can't wait, man.
They find a way. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. They find a way to make me fucking love, because Crystal Skull was shit, but they found a way to make me care once again about Indiana Jones.
All right, let's. I was going to take us down another wormhole, but let's focus on the show's clubs. Ahead.
You were going to say about Harrison Ford. Go on, I'm listening.
I was going to say I was blessed enough because I am hosting a panel at the Paley Center in New York for Shrinking at the end of the month. I think it's the 24th. Audience, if you care, you can Google and look and come. But the cast of Shrinking is doing a Paley Center panel, and I am the moderator.
With
producer writer Bill Lawrence and Brett Goldstein and Neil Goldman and all the cast. I'm not positive Harrison's coming, but at the very least, all the other amazing cast members are coming. So anyway, I just have to say, and everyone's going to say I'm biased because I love Bill and I directed one of the episodes, but I had the privilege of watching the 10 episodes of the show, and I'm not just saying this; it's fucking amazing.
Yes.
It's Jessica so
Williams
good.
Is in it, right?
Jessica so Williams excited. Is one of the stars with Ugh. Jason Segel, Harrison Ford, Krista Miller.
Say less.
Michael Urie is in it. It's really, really good. It's the Bill specialty. You are laughing 1 second and swiping tears the next.
Oh, no. I'm so excited.
It is so good, you guys. So get ready for Shrinking. It's coming end of January.
Nice.
All right, so dun dun dun, Scrubs. Ted bit off his tongue, and we can see him. The women have prescribed painkillers, and we see him in the back chugging painkillers. So we know where that's
going
to go.
Much. Yeah, that's way too much right there.
They
bro.
Tell him to take one every like 6 hours, and we just see him like doing shots of them.
Yeah, that's not a good. That's not
but
a
if
good.
You bit off your tongue, I mean, you're probably in a lot of pain.
Yeah, but that's
too much.
That's way too much.
Jordan gives them some advice. She says, what is her advice? She says, you got to rally everybody, but you're not going to get cocked because he's not going to change his mind. But she tells them that, look, there's a board meeting. And if you really are going to try, you got to rally some folks around the hospital who care. And they're having a very hard time finding anybody who cares.
Well, they also did. Well, they found somebody early on and they dissed him. Because of his job and his what he does at the hospital, but they didn't realize that the janitor's the fucking plug, yo.
Right.
And that's the one that's gonna get you connected to everything.
Right.
And then they had to come back and they didn't have to kiss ass. All Elliot had to say was, please, janitor. And he was like, all right, I'll do it.
Yeah, because he's obsessed with Elliot. His because love he loves for her. Elliot continues.
Because he loves her.
He loves her. And all she has to say is please and smile, and he's back in to help. So the janitor, although I don't think the janitor ends up really helping, does he?
He can't rally anybody. Turns out that it's really Cox that's going to bring everybody together.
Right, but I forgot if there was there ever an end to the story of the janitor even trying? Because he didn't get Crazy Eyes Margot. He didn't get
the Todd.
Yeah, he didn't get any of the trust group. What does he call his advisors?
The Brain Trust?
The Brain Trust. Thank you. He didn't get any of the Brain Trust.
He didn't even get Ted.
What about that guy that he took the egg salad bath with?
Troy.
He didn't get him. What about Marty?
Also, which is Lloyd? Lloyd wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody. I don't know why the janitor was unable to come up with anybody. And that story was just abandoned. The janitor failed.
Big time.
Yeah. Now, okay.
Elliot has developed it hasn't developed. For some reason, Elliot believes that if you call somebody slick, they'll do anything for you.
Yes, yes.
And she says it works on guy doctors and lesbians?
Yes, yes. Yes. She says people enjoy being called slick. And she says it to a woman who we can infer must be a lesbian because Elliot's theory works. And the woman smiles when she's called slick.
I do like being called slick. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know if I like being called slick.
Sure. If it's by the right person, you love it. If Tommy Lee Jones calls you slick, you're going to be like,
oh, yeah. Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah. I was so afraid of Tommy Lee Jones. We were making a movie together. And I just stayed away from him. I was so scared of him.
Such a presence.
That's not me. That, and That's me on every movie I make.
Not that he was anything other than kind to me, but he was just such a dominating presence. And he's such a movie star. You know?
That's me with every movie I make. I'm scared of every actor.
You don't talk to any of the actors? That's bullshit.
Dude, look.
You're so friendly.
Yo, Whoopi Goldberg, when we were doing Homies Spumoni, made it so that we could have... She made it... Look, this Italian lady was so... infatuated with Whoopi Goldberg. She closed her Italian deli down early so she could make a lunch for Whoopi and her friends. And Whoopi was like, Donald, you come with me to this lunch. And I was like, okay. And then I hid. I hid.
Because you were afraid of Whoopi?
Because I didn't want to sit down and have a conversation. I just wanted to sit in my trailer and nap. Yes, you see what I'm saying?
That's bad, though, because, like, you know, you want to savor those moments where you could have gotten some advice from a legend.
Whoopi looked at me. She was like, you're the biggest punk I've ever met in my life.
I am a punk.
Whoopi, you're right. Yeah. And from that day forward, I made it my business to never do that again. So, like, if Denzel, you want to hang out again. If Denzel, you ever want to hang out. Shit. Well, shoot. All of you, everybody back in the day who I was
You're
like,
telling me, you better not be telling me there's an anecdote where Denzel asked you to hang out and you hit.
There is no anecdote where I hit from Denzel, dude.
All right, good.
There is no anecdote.
All right, good.
That would be the dumbest. I could never do that.
Listen, there's a really random shot in this that I texted to the group because I just wanted to be able to talk about it. There's a moment when Kelso is just talking about the hospital and he's talking about remembering all of the people that he's lost over the years, and he says something to the effect of, I'm sure they're all looking back at me.
And he said, I see them still.
Right, but he's talking about the deceased patients. But if you look, if you pause it at 10:34, 10 minutes, 34 seconds in, what you see actually in the upper, one of the upper windows, barely seen, it's like an Easter egg, is the cast, the key cast standing there looking down at him. It was very, very subtle, and I don't know how many people noticed it ever, but I, of course, am watching it on a computer monitor very close to my face, so I saw it. It was an artistic choice by Rick Blue.
But why would the cast be in the picture?
I don't really understand it. I think that they're looking, I guess they're looking down on him lovingly. I don't think it's in the real world. I think it's in Kelso's imagination that his key coworkers are looking down on him lovingly. I don't know. I have another rationalization for it. I don't know.
Or is it that they're all dead and he's the only one that lived?
Well, that would be a twist that doesn't really pay off either.
What a twist!
Right. All right, so I want to just read to you briefly this. I'll keep it quick, but this thing that he says to Boone about one of his anecdotes. He says, when I was an intern, they made us work 60-hour shifts. Quite a few colleagues got drummed up because they couldn't cope. The rest of us were so sleep-deprived, we could barely manage to stay sane. I'll never forget the day we caught Seth Finkel gently cradling a cadaver head, which he swore belonged to his ex-girlfriend, Millie. Then he laughs. A year later, Seth actually did kill Millie. Ironically, Millie donated her body to science, and that spring we caught another intern cradling her dead head. And then he laughs and goes, ha ha. Life's little cycles.
So creepy.
That is some twisted, weird shit.
Mm-hmm. That was the that's actually his first monologue that he talks about. That's his first story that he gives.
Oh, I didn't know where it fell. I just remember thinking, like, oh my God, I have to find that on the interwebs.
He has a bunch of the pregnant girl. That's his next one.
Yeah.
Then, you know.
So they lose the urine, and Cox has given them urine from the mysterious patient. They can't seem to solve his problem, and Cox gives them the urine to go get tested, like, be useful, go get this tested. Well, JD and Turk are on all their weird, usual adventures.
As they digress like us.
And somehow on all their adventures... It's amazing that these guys in the world of the show are considered amazing doctors because what the fuck are they doing so much of the day? But anyway, they lose the urine and JD leaves it on the banister of the back ramp of the hospital, which seems very irresponsible. But thank God he knocks it over.
Nobody touches it.
Nobody grabs it.
It's the emergency entrance.
It's the emergency entrance to the hospital, and JD leaves a vial of urine sitting there. But thank goodness he does, because the UV light... turns it purple. And now they're so excited.
They're able to diagnose the patient, Cox's patient.
And Turk, wearing his fedora, says, I'm gonna Google purple pee, and you go, Google that shit. Google that shit.
But he doesn't say Google that shit.
Yeah, you do.
There's no way he says Google that shit.
Oh, what do you say then? I thought that's how I remembered it. You probably went, Google it. What did you say?
Yeah.
It was funny. I laughed out loud. It was funny. Wonderful. And now it turns out on Scrubs Wiki, we're pronouncing this disease wrong, which is great, Trevor.
Nobody cares, Trevor.
No, they do care. The doctors and nurses.
Only Trevor did. Nobody gave a shit until Trevor did. That's like somebody saying Faison, Faison. Well, I'd give a shit about that. Never mind.
All right. Well, listen, all the medical professionals who know the correct pronunciation were probably pissed off. So here it is. Although JD has pronounced it correctly in a previous episode, because this was in a previous episode, both JD and Dr. Cox pronounce acute intermittent porphyria incorrectly. They pronounce the last part porphyria, while it is pronounced porphyria.
Mm.
So it's porphyria, acute intermittent porphyria, everybody who's learning. Okay. If you're a doctor, if you're a doctor in training, you now know, you learned something on Fake Doctors, Real Friends.
There you go.
I'm so glad we cleared that up, guys.
What about when we beatbox and you make a melody and it's the Scrubs theme song? That was pretty meta.
That was pretty cool. How about 85 was supposed to be a good year for Bob Kelso? Turns out it wasn't. How about Carla's boobs look like a sea animal?
Yeah, let's talk about that. So Turk says that he prefers Carla's left boob because it looks like a sea lion's face. No, yeah. A sea lion's face.
Yes.
And then JD says it does. Turk drew it for me.
Yes.
Which is so random as hell, but then it really pays off. When
JD offers to show Dr. Cox the picture of said boob.
And he holds up the picture of her boob and it does look like a sea lion. Why does her boob look like a sea lion? Does that have whiskers?
I guess it does. I didn't want to say anything, but I guess it does.
The implication.
I guess it has whiskers and a mole on it.
Yes.
Or two moles on it for the eyes.
It has two moles and her areola must have some whiskers on it. I can't believe Judy wasn't like, fuck no, that is not my breast.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to turn down a boob that looks like a sea lion.
Really?
If my wife had a boob that looked like a sea lion, I'd be like,
you wouldn't say, honey, let me grab this whisker real quick.
No, I'd talk to the sea lion.
Oh, my word.
By the way, I love sea lions.
So cute.
Joelle, I send Joelle so many. We both like bulldogs and Staffordshire Terriers and any kind of bulldog. And
a sea lion looks like a bulldog?
Yes, they're similar looking. Between a Staffy and a sea lion, they're like cousins.
Do you know what the cutest animal on the planet is?
Baby sea lion.
A baby seal, baby.
Or sea otter. Sorry, I'm thinking of a sea otter. And so when Cox finally explains the diagnosis to the patient, he's relieved and he smiles and he says, knowing what it is, you know, Cox is like, why are you smiling? And he says, because knowing what it is makes it so much easier to deal with. Which gives Cox kind of an epiphany because he's been reluctant to help with saving Kelso's job. And he realizes that the enemy he knows is better than the one he doesn't. And he knows how to handle. He knows how to work Kelso and get what he wants.
Well, I'm going to say this. I agree with that, though, 100%, man. When it comes to ailments, that is, because I remember I had like this tickle in the back of my throat. And I thought I didn't know what it was. And I was freaking out and I was going crazy about it and everything. And I went to the ear, nose, and throat doctor, and turns out I had acid reflux. And I didn't know that acid reflux could show up in that form where it doesn't feel like a burning sensation in your throat. It feels like you have an obstruction, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so just to know that alone, and when it happens now, instead of me being like, what I mean?
You instantly you have like something really bad, don't you?
I don't think I'm alone in this situation. I think like that's most Americans. It's just a lot of Americans are scared to go to the doctor and find out what's going on with them.
Right. I was on WebMD like going down a rabbit hole with my diagnosis, which I know doctors love when you do that. But I had lots of theories on what I had.
That's the best when you go into the doctor's office. It's like, all right, look, so I was on WebMD.
Oh, I was holding
this
up
is
the
what
pictures
I think it is. I think it's right. this, but if it's not that, then it's definitely diverticulitis. But if it's not diverticulitis, it's probably just strep.
I know, but I house indeed my shit. I went deep. I went deep on, like, I was like so proud of myself. I had evidence to bring to him. I was like, look at the pictures and look at this and look at this and look at this. And he was like, yeah. I think it's just strep. But yeah, I was like, no, look. Look at my evidence. You know that like that classic meme of, I think it's from It's Sunny, right? With the guy with where he's pointing at the crazy map of evidence he's put on his wall.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like that with all my pictures. All right, we're almost done. So then Kelso goes to the meeting and no one has turned up. But then we cut back and do a full circle. Cox has brought everyone on the love train, and we see all the key people from the hospital, the doctors, are riding on the love train. And Snoop Dogg is riding it with earphones and jamming.
So it's Mickhead?
Yeah.
All of them there.
Beard face. Yeah.
You know, everybody shows up for Kelso at the end and convince the board to let Kelso stay on. But throughout the whole episode, you know, Kelso's talking about how much he loves the hospital, but he's also talking about how he just wished that, you know, it's not that he's getting fired. He just wished that he could leave on his terms.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And when the staff shows up for him, they convince the board that he should stay, and this gives Kelso the opportunity to leave on his terms.
Exactly. And he says, shove it up your ass, Rodney.
And then that's a funny name, man. Yeah. I'm sorry, Rodney.
And then he grabs his own portrait off the wall.
Yes. And takes
it
home.
A little tiny thing that bothered me was that there was a lamp that's on the portrait, right? Mm-hmm. Because it has like a portrait lamp on the frame. And when he pulls it off the wall, there's no wiring or anything related to the lamp.
It couldn't be battery operated?
Who would? No.
Okay.
Well, it was just bothered me. I wanted to see.
Take that up with Patrick.
I guess the easiest thing would have been to just delete from the scene the lamp so you don't have to deal with the problem of it. But if you're going to have the lamp, we need to see a wire that needs to be cut.
You need to
or
take
ripped
this
out
up
of the
with,
wall.
You need to take this up with set dressing.
Yeah, somebody fucked up. It's sort of a crossover. The second he touches it, Donald, it becomes a prop. So it's a crossover between set dressing and props.
It's me specialty.
Dealing with clocks and wheels. Let's hear about another song that America loves.
What you trying to get into a day soon? What you trying to do?
Have you seen this young lady on Instagram who does lip sync to our podcast?
She's amazing.
She's very funny.
I hope she lip syncs this little doozy right here.
Yeah,
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Hey.
Yeah, I think you should lip sync us talking about you. Because you're very funny and you clearly.
I don't even know her name, but I know she's funny.
Well, she puts a lot of work in.
She definitely puts a lot of work in.
She's
really good at it too.
Yeah. I'm going to give her a shout out. Let's look.
I hope she does this section right here and does a little dance at this point right here where she does like a little dance thing.
Give her something
like
hard
a little,
to go
like
off
a little,
of.
Like a little shoulder dance. Do give a little shoulder dance.
Give her something hard to work off of, you know? Give her a challenge.
Here's my little shoulder dance. Shimmy, 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 shimmy.
I don't know if that's a challenge or not.
It's a challenge because she's got a lip sync all the time.
Oh, here she is. Her Instagram is Chico Artist.
Chico Artist.
C-H-I-C-O. C-H-I-C-O Artist. And she does these lip sync videos where she plays both Donald and I. And in this last one, Joelle, did you see that?
Yes, I did. She did my laugh. It was cute.
Yeah. All right, so everybody check her out because she puts a lot of time into it, and she makes me laugh.
And Daniel feels left out.
Yeah, that's and could okay. you, with Chico Artist, would you mind doing Daniel? You know, Daniel, say something so you can be in this segment.
Never mind, Daniel. Never mind.
Come on, Daniel, say something.
Wow, rude.
Never mind.
I was trying to think of something clever. I was trying to think of something clever to say.
You didn't have to say anything clever. Just say something.
That's all she needed.
That's all she needed. Now she'll do you. Oh, you honor me. He said you honor me. He said his catchphrase.
You honor me.
He said it's what you...
You honor me. You honor me.
He said it's what
you're
talking about, Willis catchphrase. Yeah.
We gotta make it hard for her. Try doing this.
You honor me.
All right. You. Try and lip sync that.
Do the ass play one. Do the ass play one.
Yeah, do this one. Ready? Hold on. I gotta go back to that. I'm like, got a fortress over here. All right, here we go.
Whether it be taking a poop, whether it be a finger, whether it be a tongue... Whether it, you know, everybody likes a little ass play.
Facts. Hey, Chico artist, you can opt out of that one because we don't want to make you talk about ass play if you're uncomfortable.
But everybody does like a
okay,
little
Okay, Donald,
play.
Focus. Mm-hmm. All right, I think that's the show. We're going to, Joelle, we have some pitches. Mm-hmm. Do we need a break or no?
Oh, hell
we
yeah.
We should break, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. And we're going to end the show when we come back with two pitches that are going to make you laugh, okay?
Zach, I love you.
Be right back.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Let me tell you guys, my family loves our Helix sleep mattress. Ever since we've got it, we've had some of our best sleep yet.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Everybody is unique, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences.
Not only is the mattress the best I've slept on, but the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free.
Helix is offering 20% off of all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/realfriends and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
The season of summer concerts is upon us. When you want to secure the best seat in the house, you know you can't wait until the last minute. You have to be on it. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead.
If you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/realfriends.
ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it.
Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/realfriends.
Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/realfriends.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
She don't love you like that.
She didn't go to Vegas because I wasn't going. Here we go.
I
and
know.
We're back.
That's freaking broke my heart. It broke my
really?
Heart.
Really? Wow.
Zach, I love you.
Yo.
Wow.
Yo.
I didn't know that.
I got abandoned. Joelle.
You need to check with your wife because her version of the story was.
Bullshit. Is
Donald
her
says
is
I shouldn't
bullshit.
Come now.
No, that's bullshit. Dude, let me tell you something right now, Joelle.
Yeah.
First, you abandoned me. Zach
strep.
Abandoned me.
We peeled off.
Then,
we peeled off.
And then wow. Guess who abandoned me after that? My own wife.
Not wife.
Well, you had
my
strep too, huh?
My own wife.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, I was down bad. It was awful.
That was I don't know if it's going around, but that was the worst strep I ever had in my whole life.
Oh, for sure. I need to go to Vegas and spread
me,
my germs.
Me, Bob Pittman, and John Sykes did it big on a private plane coming back. They told me I should watch this movie called Triangle of Sadness.
Yeah,
apparently
that's good
really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to check that out.
It's really good, but you won't like it.
I won't like it.
Okay, so now we have two types for those of you, just to remind you what's happening. We have pitches for TV concepts that Donald and I should explore next. And we also have
TV and movie concepts.
Yes. And we also have pitches for what this podcast should become once we're out of Scrubs episodes, because we're rapidly running out. We're in the middle of season 7 and we only have 9 seasons.
We only have 2 episodes left in season 7.
We really?
Really?
Yeah, it's a damn really short one.
Oh, because of the strike.
Mm-hmm.
Was it only 10 episodes? Season 6 episodes? Know that. It's only 10 episodes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Oh,
we
boy.
We are running
boy.
Out. We are running out of. We gotta do a tour next with mm-hmm. season 8 because that's going to be our last chance.
That's what I wanted to talk to these guys about also. Dude, we're going to do this tour. This is for real, for real.
I want to get a tour bus and our faces will be on the side of the tour bus. Joelle, what is the first one?
We have a podcast pitch from Dan Biddy.
Dan Biddy.
Dan Biddy. Dan Biddy.
Take that, take that, take that.
Dan Biddy. Dan Biddy. Dan Biddy.
Here we go.
Hey, Zach and Donald, and Daniel and Joelle as well. This is Dan, all the way from the UK. So here's my pitch for what you guys should do after you finish your Scrubs rewatch. I think that I speak for everyone when I say that we're going to want more Scrubs. So my idea is that you guys write your own Scrubs audio plays and then perform them in character as Turk and JD. And then if you can get Sarah back as Elliot and Judy back as Carla, et cetera, et cetera. I think that would be awesome. You know, and the episode of the podcast could be you guys coming up with ideas for what the audio play is going to be that week and writing gags and coming up with storylines. And, you know, you could do like Nurse Roberts, above ground pool party, for example, or JD and Elliot's Man wedding fiction. And the guest on the podcast that week could be an ex-Scrubs writer, or maybe Bill, or Neil Flynn. He's great at improv, get him involved as well. It just, while you guys are waiting for Bill to be free again so we can get that Scrubs reunion, this could be a great way of getting more Scrubs content in our lives. And I think we'd all love that as much as the current format of the podcast already is. So yeah, hope you guys are okay. Bye.
Damn Biddy. Damn Biddy.
Damn Biddy.
Damn Biddy. Damn Biddy.
Damn Biddy.
Damn
Biddy.
I think we're allowed to do that, Damn Biddy. It's a very good idea, but we're not allowed to use, I don't think, the characters
no,
on
we
our
cannot.
Own because they're owned
we're not
by
allowed
the Walt Disney Corporation.
By the
just
Mickey
like
Mouse.
Mickey Mouse. Just like Mickey Mouse. Although, didn't his copyright expire?
I imagine
as old as Mickey.
I imagine the Mickey Mouse copyright is renewed at some point, too. I imagine they were like, it expired.
Did they work that out,
Disney
Joelle?
Was
I
like,
thought there was some funny thing where it was expired by accident or something. Or
so
no, a certain amount of years.
Yeah, after 100 years, I think it's 100 years, it has become public domain. So what it is the original Mickey design you could use, but this design's a little shinier. This, you know what I mean? They'll just update a little bit. So mostly Mickey is still protected by Disney, but.
Oh, but if I wanted to, I could make a t-shirt with the original Mickey and be allowed to sell it.
I think that's correct. That's my understanding of things.
I'm going to get to work today.
Like those Pooh Bear murder movies.
Hey,
Speaking of copyright,
yeah,
I did not know what this whole Ghostbusters situation, man. Holy shit.
What's
did
that?
You know that Ghostbusters, the song, is like stolen by like so many different people? Like it's
what?
Been.
No, that's not what it is.
Yeah, it has. So apparently, Huey Lewis was supposed to do the Ghostbusters song, and he didn't do the Ghostbusters song, and they gave it to Ray Parker Jr. But I think Huey Lewis had written the Who You Gonna Call part, and Ray Parker adds his part, and Huey Lewis sues Ray Parker Jr., but in the case, he's not allowed to talk about suing Ray Parker Jr. And in an interview later on, Huey Lewis then goes to talk about suing Ray Parker Jr. And now Ray Parker Jr. gets all the money for the Ghostbusters song. But this all goes back to a song that they say Huey Lewis stole the Ghostbusters song from anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it's like this crazy.
If you confuse, just Google this and you'll find it. But someone did a comparison of all three songs. The Huey Lewis one, the Ray Parker Jr. Is that his name?
Yes.
And then there's the third song, and it's a big mess, just like Donald's talking about.
It's all a mess.
And a lot of money was floating around, and people suing each other back and forth.
But that's what would happen to us.
When I was a kid, Huey Lewis was the jam.
Oh, dude, come on, man. Gotta go back in time. Dun, 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 dun.
But there was an album. I think the album was called Sports, ironically enough.
Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true.
I'm so happy to be stuck with you. And I can see that you're happy to be stuck with me. What was the music video on the beach, Donald? Do you remember which song that was?
That, I thought that was that one. I don't know.
I got a new drug. I want a new drug. There was something like that.
He wants a new drug.
I want a new drug. Anyway, everyone go listen to Huey Lewis's album, Sports. It's magical. Okay, so Dan Biddy, very good idea. I don't think we're legally allowed to do that.
I don't think that's possible.
But very good. Very good idea.
I will say this. The audience, from what I'm gathering, the audience just wants more Scrubs so far.
Yeah. Unlike TLC. Daniel, I have a question for you.
God,
you're very tech savvy, and there's a lot of people using one of these AI programs to print out funny material.
ChatGPT.
Yeah, could we have ChatGPT crank out a scene of Scrubs and then read it? Is that possible?
I'm gonna try right now.
All right, let's see what happens. You say Turk and JD Scrub scene and see what it puts out.
It's really crazy. This AI thing is really crazy because now the designs are yours, I guess. If you design a picture, if you put the picture in, I don't know how this works, man. Like, this AI is doing everybody's work.
Did you see the baby one? You see the baby one of you? It was really cute.
It didn't look like me though.
A little bit.
Not even a little bit. Listen, I'm the one member in the cast that everybody gets wrong in the fucking art situation. I didn't know I was that difficult to draw. Everybody fucks my face up. Some of these drawings, man, motherfucker had me looking like the Mexican Charles Barkley in one of these boys, dude. Like, straight up. Like, and then had the nerve to be like, and tag me in that shit. You didn't look like you either, but still. Like, it's like, some of these pictures are always, they get you right, and then me, it's fucked up. Like, I look like fucking somebody else.
But we appreciate the fan.
They get you right more. I've never been right yet. They've never gotten me right yet.
I want to say on behalf of both of us, we very much appreciate the art.
I appreciate it, but stop making me look like Sam Jackson. Like, what the fuck?
Daniel, did anything come out?
ChatGPT is at capacity right now. Apparently too many people are using it at this point.
All right, well, Daniel, could you work on that? And if by chance it puts something out, we will perform that. I think we can perform that on the show.
Great.
Okay, what's next?
All right, what's next, Joel?
Here's your last one. It comes from Adam Knight.
Zach, Donald, Joel, of course, and DJ Daniel. Name's Adam Knight from Winnipeg, Canada. Up here in the frozen Great White North, I'm not going to talk about Stubbies or maple syrup, but I am going to talk about a potential movie pitch. So if you guys are ready.
I'm ready.
Grab yourselves a Stubby. Oh, damn it, I said I wouldn't do it. Anyways.
But did he mean Dick?
Zach and Donald are nightclub promoters who tour from city to city, bringing value and life to clubs that are losing their luster. Everything is great for these two party boys until they arrive in Detroit, where the club they are hired to spice up becomes the scene of a Hong Kong action-style assassination. Our boys are caught on camera fleeing the scene by the victims of the assault, the perpetrators of the assault, and the local police force. In order to clear their names and protect their lives, our heroes, are introduced to the most dangerous person in Detroit, an ass-kicking, hard-nosed femme fatale who takes no crap and isn't afraid to get her hands dirty, ideally played by Sarah Chalk. It's Midnight Run meets John Wick as Zach and Donald star in Fast Talkers. Hope you all like it.
Adam, thank you.
On my whiteboard for this year, so I'm writing this off. And keep smiling, guys. Thanks for all the laughs the last couple of years. Appreciate it.
Love it.
Well, Adam, thank you. And I'm glad that you just achieved something on your whiteboard, which was getting on the show and pitching an idea. That's funny. I know Donald lit up when you started getting into action and
when he said Midnight Run, that got me right away.
I love Midnight Run, but what's the Keanu Reeves movie?
John Wick.
Yeah, John Wick. I've never seen a John Wick movie in my life.
I haven't either, but I saw
good. What?
They're good.
Oh, I've never seen one.
You would love it, Donald. That is sure your movie.
So check this out. So a friend of mine worked
on
one of
gun action.
Dude,
yeah. And swords. He kills a man with a book at one point. It's amazing. Yo,
a friend of mine worked on John Wick 3, and that whole motorcycle sequence is all done on a green screen, CG green screen and shit like that. And I got to see that like right after they filmed it. It's since gone on to be on the internet and stuff like that as an example of how crazy that shit is. But yo, Keanu's doing all of it. Yeah. I didn't know that. I mean, I knew Keanu was kind of badass and shit like that, but I didn't know he was badass like that badass.
He learned to do it all.
That motherfucker is not playing around, dude. Well, jumping from bikes, freaking kicking ass. Mm-hmm. Keanu Reeves, who knew?
I just want to add one thing to Adam Knight's pitch, if you don't mind, just to finish it off.
Zach and Donald are gay newlyweds in house arrest.
Side note, a stubby is a small beer.
I thought it was a penis.
You mean less than 12 ounces? It's like less than 12 ounces?
It is a small beer, yes. It's just Canadian slang for a small beer. Because
I thought
a
stubby was a small penis.
I suppose it could be in the right context.
Mm.
Yes.
Let's say you're going down on someone and you get pull off their underwear and you see they have a small penis. You can be like, oh, not
look
a stubby.
That stubby.
Yikes.
You didn't tell me you had a stubby.
You should have warned me at the bar you had a stubby.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
I think we should end on that note.
Should we?
That's a perfect place to stop.
I think we might have come to the end of this episode. Listen, guys.
Well, I missed you all. I missed you three, and I missed you listeners. This is so fun. I really missed
you. We're not going to be here next week, so don't get mad at us.
Why not? Oh, yeah. We got work. Secret project. We got to do a secret project. Daniel, put in some conga music. We got a secret project. A little bit of secret project. I got a secret project.
Okay.
You can't know now. All right. We'll let you go. We love you.
That's what my wife's grandmother says when she's trying to get off the phone. We talked about didn't we talk about this, y'all?
I'll let you go.
I'll let you go. Always works.
I
all right,
I'll
now
let
I'm gonna let you
all
go.
The time. Flawless. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want the person to be offended, so you're like, I'll let you go.
Yeah. Right.
I know you gotta go.
So we know y'all gotta go. There's shit y'all gotta do right now.
We know y'all gotta go. There's lots of podcasts. And please check out my trailer for A Good Person on YouTube. We love you so much. Donald, count us out.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Some stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who love to hate. I said he's got stories. Natural should know.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, it's simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. You can learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.